Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
With the 25th pick in the 2026 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Dylan Thienemann.
Greatness!
Defensive back, Oregon.
The Chicago Bears select greatness at 25. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here. 104.3 The Score. And yes, your Chicago Bears have found themselves a starting safety in Dylan Thienemann out of the University of Oregon. Impressed at the combine, impressed even more people with his tape at both Purdue and the University of Oregon. You could talk to, and Heron needs to be on the show, everybody's show, talking about this guy. And the Bears still have pick 57, pick 60, and I believe it's 89. Is there the next pick after that? So still a lot of opportunities for the Bears to fill holes. But curious about your thoughts, right? That's why I'm on the air right now. And don't forget, going right up till 5 o'clock, got another hour with you guys. That's when Dustin Rhodes takes over with the pregame show. Then Mully and Hogg got you covered. Pick 6. Brad Biggs at 7, and then Coach Wonstadt jumps on at 8 o'clock. But right now we're talking to you. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Arlene on the phone lines. So you love the draft pick? Arlene, you there? So close. So close to giving a good take right there. You put a, maybe they'll call back, get back on hold. But again, people right now, when you're thinking about everyone, whether it's Lewis Riddick, Ant Heron, like I mentioned, David Syverson, I mean, people were very high on Dylan Thienemann, and it's because of the versatility. Well, first of all, it's because you're getting an immediate plug-and-play starting safety, which is extremely important for the Chicago Bears, right? You get the opportunity to sign Kobe Bryant. And again, when you think about the dollars that were allocated to the safety position last year between Kevin Byard, who was making about $7 million, and Jaquan Brisker still on the rookie deal making about $1.2 million, you knew that with the signing of Kobe Bryant, they weren't going to sign someone else and give dollars away to that position. It was going to be something that was more so on the rookie scale contract. But to get Dylan Thienemann, the second best safety in the draft at 25 when you didn't think he was going to be available, that in itself is a win for the organization. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Allen. Allen, welcome to the show. What'd you think about the draft pick?
What's up, Gabe? Hoot hoot, eh?
Hey, hoot. Yes.
Hoot. I thought the Bears had a very good pick. I'm a Packer fan, so my first-round pick is on the couch somewhere rehabbing an ACL. But I thought the Bears did well. I thought the Titans did really well.
Did you? You like the Tate draft pick, huh?
I did. I think the Titans this offseason has done well. I'm not a big Titans follower, but I've noticed they've made some good changes within the organization. And I thought they had really good draft picks. And I look for the Titans to do really well this year, or at least do a lot better than they did last year.
Yeah, I guess it just more so, to speak specifically about Carnell Tate, is just how much of a believer are you in Cam Ward? Not you specifically, Allen, but I just mean the Titans in general. And, you know, because to give him a weapon like that, when you pass up on Arvell Reese, who some was saying was the best prospect in the draft, you know, to pass up on him to get a wide receiver to help a quarterback that might not even be top 15 is tough, you know. So
understood. You make a great point. But they're behind him. So
yeah, that's what you want.
You gotta give him benefit of the doubt for now, and he's got a weapon. Their defense improved with that defensive end edge rusher. So I thought they're gonna. I think they're gonna do better this year than they did last year.
Obviously the Bears themselves still have two picks in the second round. They have a third rounder as well. They've already addressed the safety position, Allen. So in your mind, where do you feel? What position do you feel like is at the very top? Now, before I say that, I want to give a qualifier that there have already been five defensive edges that have been taken already,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
you're getting down into the depths of that position. But I'm curious, you know, what would you like to see happen as a Bears fan in the second round?
You know, I think they got to go offensive line. I don't think you can go wrong picking up an offensive lineman.
Now, are you talking about tackle or center? Because, you know, that could be either of those.
Yeah, some of those guys can go multiple directions, you know. Some of those draft picks have had experience at the center or at the right guard or at the tackle position. I think some of those guys can be flexible in that position. So, you got a great quarterback. You got some great running backs. You got some great receivers. I don't think you can go wrong with more protection.
Yeah, I mean, when you're thinking about, you know, whether, like you said, it depends. First of all, we know the Bears like guys that are versatile, right? That can play multiple positions.
Right.
And so, I mean, if you get a center that can be a swing guard, right? The Bears were fortunate with health on their offensive line last year. So you're going to need some depth at those positions. So I don't think I'd hate anything like that. And then, yeah, I mean, if you're comfortable with Braxton Jones and Theo Benedict on the left side, then, yeah, you might not feel as much of a pressing need to grab someone. But if you can have an impact player there, and there are offensive linemen to be had, right? And,
yeah.
and when you think about Ryan Poles, he loves himself a late-round offensive lineman, right? He feels like he can find a diamond in the rough with his scouting staff.
We are early in this draft. There's talent still available.
A ton of talent.
Yeah. So,
but let's go to the safety position in Dillon Thielemann. Did you think he was going to be available? Or like when you heard the name called, because he was still on the board, was that the person you assumed the Bears were going to take, or did you think they were going to go in a different direction?
No, I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I said, who do you think they're going to take? And he said, I think they're going to take this Dillon Thielemann. And he said, but I don't think he's going to be there. So we kept watching, and then he kept falling right into our spot. I'm glad the Bears took it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the call, Alan. I appreciate it. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. I had a feeling, I put it into my group chat, which, by the way, I'm disappointed in my group chat. I was, you know, the group chat's going crazy. Everybody's talking about everything. And here, I'll put it right here. I texted out at 8:25. And it was right around pick 16 or 15. And I was like, the Bears are going to get Dillon Thielemann. Right here, I'm staring at the text right now. I have like 25 people in this group chat. Only one person liked my text. And then when the Bears actually took Thielemann, no one said like, oh, wow, Gabe, great pick. Like, no one gave me love. This is what, I'll tell you what texts are in here after the draft pick. Somebody said, beautiful. Somebody else said, 4-3-5-40. That was it. Nobody was like, oh, Gabe, great call. 10 picks out that the Bears didn't get. No love.
Hey, if Jahmyr Gibbs is run down sideline, at least he can catch him.
Yes, at least he can catch him. And Justin Jefferson and A.J. Brown, for that matter. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Taking your thoughts on Dillon Thielemann, what kind of impact he'll have on this Bears team, and what you think the Bears should do in the second round with their picks. Let's go to Antoine out in the south side. Antoine, I feel like everybody and their mama was like, Bears need an edge. All of a sudden, Dillon Thielemann gets picked, and everybody's like, this is a good pick. I think they did a good one. I think they hit one on this one. Well, what's your thoughts on the draft pick?
Oh, I thought it was a great draft. I thought it was a great draft so far. I didn't think that we would be able to get an edge at 25. I thought that, you know, all the good edges were probably gone at that point, which I feel like they were. I mean, you get someone solid, but I don't think you're going to get anybody better than Booker. So, we needed a starter at safety, and I think it was the most pressing need on defense, actually. So, I feel like edge is one of those positions that needs to be kind of top 10 type of thing to get a really quality edge. Or we just kind of get another guy, another body. And I feel like we got enough bodies there. I'm glad we got an impact player, second best safety. You know, some say first. So I'm ecstatic about the pick.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, when you go in, you see there was five defensive ends drafted, you know, before Dylan Thienemann. And so you're asking yourself, do I want, to your point, right, do I want Austin Booker 2.0? Not that Austin Booker's not going to be good, and not that whoever you would have drafted wouldn't have been good either, but just the fact that you have bodies that are similar, right? Similar output. The sixth best defensive end is comparable to maybe a Dio Adangbo, who's proven to get sacks in the league. Maybe, you know, didn't have obviously the productivity that we wanted last year, but still has the potential to do so. And so, like, to your point, right, you get a plug and play starting safety from the very beginning, a guy that you didn't anticipate to be there. And you're over the moon, right? Because you're helping out your defense ultimately, Antoine. And that was obviously the area of need for the Chicago Bears heading into this draft, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, seems like an impact player. Speed, I think, is the number one thing we're kind of focusing on, basically from the free agency. And, you know, now with the first pick in the draft, see, they put the emphasis on speed, which is great. Kind of matching Seattle's defense, I believe.
Yeah,
but I don't think that there was an impact defensive end or even tackle at that point. And like I said, I actually believe in Booker. I don't believe in Dio. I think that was a waste of money, but we'll see. But
yeah, Austin Booker
gonna have a big year.
Yeah, I think we all want him to, right? We all saw flashes of it. We see his explosiveness, especially in the pass rush, and I think he's up for the challenge to be a better run defender, right? Where you'd see him close to the quarterback in certain situations, didn't get the sacks, but was close to the bodies, and that's what you wanted. But definitely got to be a little bit better in the run game. But I do like Austin Booker as well. I think you're right, and it's interesting when you finally see the draft play out, Antoine, where you can, I mean, okay, let me say this. Isn't it cool for the Bears to finally be in a position where what they're doing, not that it's predictable, but you can understand what they're doing, right? Like, oh, wow, you got a GM and the roster is constructed to a point where when they take safety, you understand exactly what's going on. Oh, yeah, you needed a starting safety. Your defensive edge, you didn't feel like could be as impactful as you would have wanted to be. If you had taken a tackle, it would have been the same thing. Would have been competing with Braxton Jones and Theo Benedict. But a safety is like, oh, yeah, no, this is the right thing to do. Wow, Bears doing the right thing. Getting it right. I mean, these are things that you haven't been able to say over the last, you know, seasons in the past, obviously since Caleb and such. But it's a remarkable place to be when you got Garrett Bradbury at the podium earlier in the week talking about, hey, man, I'm just here to contribute to this culture that they already have. What? Bears have a culture? That's crazy. Then the Bears, you know, taking a position of need on the defensive side. It's just, it feels oddly good. Like, I'm almost like, is this is going too well, Antoine? Like, things are going too right for the Chicago Bears right now.
We're a functioning franchise, finally. Right? I mean,
that's what
I'm
saying.
In years past, we probably would have drafted a fullback or something. Like, I don't know.
Yes. Yes.
Like,
but it's good to be. It's good to be on this side.
We did something that everybody's questioning, like, oh,
a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Right. I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, but it feels good, man. It feels good to be over here, and I appreciate the phone call, Antoine. Thanks for calling in, man. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you all the way till 5 o'clock, taking your phone calls, right? Antoine brings up some great points. But I love the fact that, you know, when Ryan Poles gets to the podium, as we just heard from him in the last hour, and explains to you ultimately what he saw, right? They get the opportunity to watch tape on who they feel is the top X amount of players. And he said that the tape of Dylan Thienemann stood out. And I'm sure as you saw those draft picks start to come off the board. And again, I think with Ty Simpson going top 15, Caden Proctor going top 15, guys that you didn't necessarily think we're going to go that high, it pushes everything down, right? So you weren't necessarily sure that, you know, Thienemann would have been there. And then you go to, you know, the Vikings. This is a team that lost, you know, a lot of their interior line and trying to regroup. And so it's not just the safety position that, you know, Harrison Smith was at that they wanted to replace. You know, they get Caleb Banks. The draft grades are coming in to A- on him. right? I mean, a guy that defensive tackle, 6'6", 330. It's who they felt they needed on their defense, right? And they, I'm sure they assumed that they can either find them, their way back in on the back end with like a trade on Stoops in the second round or on McNeil Warren in the second round. And they felt like they could find the value somewhere else. And for the Bears, you know, they felt the opposite in that situation and were able to pick a Dylan Thienemann. What do you think? What was your take when you saw that Roger Goodell come across the stage and utter the name Dylan Thienemann? Were you equally as excited as everyone else? And don't forget, it's draft coverage all weekend. Bears still got some picks to make. So I'm curious, who do you want them to take with their next few picks in the second and third round? 312-644-6767. Your phone call's on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you right here on 104.3 The School.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
Take it to Pena. Aller, sideline. Oh, it's picked! Dylan Thienemann calls game! That's a walk-off whiteout winner for the Ducks!
Shout out to NBC for that right there. The highlight, of course, Dylan Thienemann intercepting the big pick against Penn State. Sealing the game right there. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Dylan Thienemann, 25th pick in the draft for your Chicago Bears. Safety out of Oregon, won Freshman of the Year and the Big Ten with Purdue. And now he's a member of your secondary to pair up alongside Kobe Bryant, Tyreek Stevenson, Jalen Johnson on the cornerback positions. Improvement, that we can say for sure. Right, I think you want somebody like this, an impactful player, someone that fell down to you because other teams were drafting for need. And fortunately for the Bears, they had several positions of need. But when you're able to get the second best, fill in the blank at 25, then you go ahead and make a move like that. But let's go out to the phone line, see what you think. 312-644-6767. Again, hanging out till 5 o'clock. It's when Dustin Rhodes takes over. Hands right off to Mully and Hall. Pick 6 at 6. They got Brad Biggs at 7. And then Coach Wonstad at 8. It's going to be a great morning here on 104.3 The Score. But let's go out to the phone lines. We got Pito. Out in, this man is not in Humble Park. We got Pito out in the streets of Chicago right now. But your ass ain't from Humble Park. What's up, man? What do you think about this draft pick?
Papi, you know I'm out in the streets and I'm listening to CFG.
Yes, CFG is out here. Were you surprised that he was there, or are you surprised that the Bears got a safety?
No. You know what I want to talk about? This, at the end of the day, the most important thing right now that I've heard, not just today, but I heard it last draft and I heard it the draft before that, Ryan Poles saying that the board fell the way they had already prepared for it to fall.
Okay.
So now we can actually critique their scouting skills, because apparently they got their system down in place where they kind of already understand who's picking what and who, when and where. So it's not really about who they picked. It's the fact that they already had a feeling that that person was going to be available. So I think that that's a key. Because if they're really that locked in on who's going to be available, then now we can really criticize, okay, who the player is. Did they scout properly? Do they know what they're looking for? Right. And that's really what stood out to me.
Well, the interesting thing with that assessment, right, which makes sense, right? You're able to truly critique the front office, the scouting department, which I think they've done a great job. But at 25, to your point, Pito, you had a handful of players that you felt could be available for you at 25 because it's the top of the draft. But now at 57, right, you got a whole round, and within that are probably those guys that you had your eye on that slipped out of the first round that are still, but by the time 57 comes around, a lot of those guys aren't going to be there. So I think the scouting is going to be, and you know, your assessment of players is really, Dylan Thienemann is like Modest Buzelis for the Bulls. Like, you had to take him at 11, right? Like, he was supposed to be a number one pick, and then he's there at 11, you take him. Dylan Thienemann is going to be a top 15, top 20 pick, available at 25, you take him. But at 57, a lot of these other guys that you probably had high grades on are going to be gone. So it's going to be – that's where I feel like the scouting is really going to come into play, is pick 57. And I'm not sure that when they get to 57, there's going to be as many names on that big board with a sticker next to it.
But I got two words for you. Luther Burden.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Ben Johnson.
No.
Okay, Luther Burden.
Luther Burden. Nobody thought we were going to – that wasn't even a need last year. And yet we got who they had already had highest on their board and picked best player available.
True.
And so they've shown us that they're not going for need. They're picking best player available. Last year they showed us. We got Luther Burden, who is now, I mean, some consider he's going to be our number one receiver over Rome. But they're already showing us that they're scouting. And they know they got their ranking on point. So, okay, so some of these guys might be gone, but on their board, those guys might not be the top guys.
Right.
Just like Luther Burden last year was one of their top guys. So,
all right,
based on history, I got confidence.
Okay, so Josh Edwards from CBS Sports, you know, after day one finished, he put together his mock draft for round two. And I mentioned this a little earlier, but I love that the fact that I get to bring it back. And they have the Bears at 57 taking Gabe Yakus, the edge out of Illinois, which is fine with me. But then their 60th pick, and this goes to your, you know, line of thinking about best available and maybe being something that we're not, you know, thinking about. They have pick 60 being Mike Washington, a running back from Arkansas. This is a mock draft from – this is not some mock draft that happened weeks ago. This is now with the remaining players that are left over, you know, who this guy thinks the Bears – would it be shocking to you, to your point, right? You didn't think they were going to take Luther Burden. Would it be shocking to you if the Bears and Benny J, right, because if your first two players are defense, you know Benny J is sitting there like, hey, guys, does anybody want to help out my offense? Yeah. So would you be shocked if they took a running back there with 60, pick 60?
No, because if they take it, it's because they feel that strongly about him. I think based on last year's draft, we all got to believe in how they're scouting. Believe that Benny J knows what he's doing on the offensive side.
Right.
We're still figuring out if he knows the defensive side, right? Because we don't know that part. Mm-hmm. But we know that his offensive players hit.
That's true.
So 100%, I'm okay with it.
It's funny, Pito, because I was watching a video from the stadium, right, from Soldier Field, where they were interviewing people about, you know, their reactions to the draft pick. And one of the first people they interviewed, he's like, you know what? I didn't really like it, but I trust Ben Johnson. Not even
of
Ryan
course.
Poles.
How could you not?
Not even Ryan Poles. I trust Ben Johnson. Like,
but this pick is not Ben Johnson, right? This pick is Poles, Dennis Allen, and Ben Johnson.
Scouting department, right. Yeah.
Of course. This is the full gamut. So, again, that's why I'm just like, it's not the pick. It's the one thing that Ryan Poles said is that the board fell kind of how he thought it was going to fall. And this is not the first draft that he says that,
right,
which means their system that they've had in place, which is understanding who's picking who and when. Again, he said this multiple years now. That means that's tight. So now if that's really tight and if it's true what you're saying on the podium, then that means now we can actually critique you based on your picks,
yeah,
and on your evaluations. And that's what I'm excited about, because, again, we got Luther Burden in the second round. We got Colston Loveland in the first round, and you weren't a fan of that.
Nope.
And most people were shocked by it. And look at what Colston Loveland ended up looking like towards the end of the year. And look at what Burden ended up looking like. So I think that we got to, like, now be like, okay, so their scouting department might know what they're doing, but let's see if it's consistent. Because they obviously know who's going to be there. So
yeah.
I think that was the biggest thing that I heard in that press conference, is that once again he mentioned that, which makes me excited because then now there's not many surprises, and I know that you're drafting best available, and now I can literally critique you on your scouting.
Yeah, and they've been buttoned up to your point. Right up until this point, you know, having a process in place, and they talk about it often, right? How they go about it, how they allow their scouting department to, you know, spearhead the process up until a certain point. But you love the fact that, you know, they are identifying a particular type of player that they want to fit into their scheme of how they want to play defense, right? And you heard him talk about that a lot as well. And so again, three more picks in the top, you know, 100 is a lot, especially if you're hitting up properly, right? Like last year, you like your guys that you're mentioning, right? Ozzie Chiprillo obviously gets hurt, but Luther Burden, you know, Colson Loveland, guys that were impact players, and not just bodies, but impact players on your team. And so if the Bears are able to duplicate that, and let's be very clear, you know, Ryan Poles doesn't have the best, you know, pedigree when it comes to late round draft picks, but, you know, second, third rounders have all been pretty solid. You know what I mean? Well, maybe not third rounders. Third rounders actually bad. Fourth rounders have been good. But so you trust that, you know, learning year over year, again, when you pair it up with the process that you just pointed out, Pito, and that's where you should have a level of confidence in this Bears team, at least in the second round, to come through with somebody. So you have no interest in, I know you said you trust them, but I'm talking about you personally. No interest in the center, no interest in the offensive tackle. You're like, I'm cool with an edge and then a running back.
I want best player available. It's like you said before. I don't want the eighth best something when there's a second best right. Or something else.
Yeah.
Give me the best player available because you can never have enough blue chippers, pro bowlers, good players, whatever it may be. I think that teams get hurt when they draft for need and they leave blue chippers or top players on the table because they already have somebody.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's the NFL. People get hurt, contracts, all kinds of things. You always have to draft. I'm of the belief best player available. Ryan Poles has stressed best player available, and I agree with that philosophy, and I just hope that he follows it and he continues to follow it. So it doesn't matter to me if it's a running back in the next pick because he thinks it's the best player available, and he thinks it's the next Jeremiah Love, you know, but, you know, just a step below, then so be it.
So be
I
it.
Just want the best player available.
I think the most impressive thing about this phone call is that your ability to sober up in between the, like, from the beginning of the call to right now, like, that was amazing. I ain't never seen that before. Hey, I love you. I'll talk to you later. All right, brother.
You've 100% seen it before.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Oh, man. 312-644-6767. Pito brings up a great point. We as a fan base haven't had the luxury of defaulting to our GM in our front office. Defaulting with blind confidence that not only are they going to take the right player, but the process to get the right player exists. And this is with a new regime in place, right? New coaching staff in place that they still have been able to identify and without hesitation add top-tier talent to the team in the first couple of rounds. And that's what we're seeing in real time from this Bears squad. So shout out to Ryan Poles. Listen, you don't need to listen to Ryan Poles to hear that Dylan Thielemann is a good pick. And you sure as hell don't got to listen to me about that. You could just listen to any draft pundit around the NFL. Anyone that's talking about Dylan Thielemann is saying he's going to be a guy for your team. And, you know, we as Bears fans, we like to overvalue our players, specifically on the defense. But if Dylan Thielemann gets to come in and just add to what's already there, again, we can't call it an upgrade just yet. We haven't seen the productivity, but we definitely like the fact that they were able to replace a Kevin Byard and Jaquan Brisker with a Kobe Bryant and now a Dylan Thielemann. Now, you heard Pito say that if the Bears take a running back at pick 60, then it's all good because that means that it's the best player available. Do you agree with that? 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Would love to hear your take on that. Would love to hear your thoughts on Dylan Thielemann and his impact on this Bears squad. Is that an upgrade? Do you feel now that your safety room is shored up with Kobe Bryant and Dylan Thielemann that you've upgraded from last year? Have you taken a sidestep? What do you think? 312-644-6767. We'll take your calls on the other side again. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you right up till 5 o'clock. It's when Dustin takes over with the pregame show. Right into Mully and Haw. They got the pick six at 6, Brad Biggs at 7, and then Coach Wonstad at 8. But on the other side, your phone calls about the first round of this NFL draft and what the Bears should be doing in the second round as well. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 104.3 The Score.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
Dylan, you're a Chicago Bear. What stands out most to you about your journey to becoming a first-round draft pick?
Never knew what kind of path I was going to take. I mean, started at Purdue, ended at Oregon, but I'm just extremely thankful to everyone that's been with me throughout the way and the journey I've gone on.
You grew up idolizing a safety and studying him a ton that people here know well in Troy Polamalu. What traits do you bring to the table that can make you the next best one for the Bears?
I think I'm very versatile, and I'm able to use my speed and play recognition to play fast and play aggressive.
It's Dylan Thielemann right there on ESPN after being drafted. I mean, like, come on. If you're going to draft a safety and you want him looking up to someone, for me, it'd be Ronnie Lott, but second would be Troy Polamalu.
Ed Reed.
And for you, Ed Reed. But yes, cut from that cloth. And when you want to be great like that and talk about your versatility, I didn't like that he said versatile instead of versatile. Got to be honest. That one threw me off a little bit. But I could live with it, especially if he gets a couple of interceptions. But he is your first-round pick, Bears fans, your new starting safety alongside Kobe Bryant. And the Bears have picks 57, pick 60, pick 89, and there's 87 or 89. I keep saying 89. So that is what we're going to be getting after today, all day today on 104.3 The Score. But let's go out to the phone lines because I'm hanging out with you for a little bit more. Got Dustin Rhodes taking over at 5, and then, of course, Mully and Haw, pick 6 at 6. They got Brad Biggs jumping on at 7, who correctly mocked Dylan Thielemann to the Chicago Bears back in March. And then they have Coach Wonstad, who will be able to come in. And, you know, this is a guy that's covered the Big Ten as well and gets the opportunity to really break down what Dylan Thielemann means to the squad. But in the meantime, I want to hear what you have to say about your newest member of the Chicago Bears. Let's go to Shiwu out in McHenry. Shiwu, what's your biggest question when it comes to this draft and what's left for the Chicago Bears?
But you got to take care of the middle of the field. So I would say, you definitely need to get some push with a defensive tackle. You definitely want to be able to rush. So the defensive line of scrimmage, I think you still got time to get a defensive tackle and an edge rusher. You also have time to get a quality center that doesn't have to start this year, but you definitely, want that center to start next year. If the Bears really, really were concerned about getting an edge, that means that they had somebody ranked higher than Keldrick Falk, right? Because he went after the Bears pick. And then the safety that we got, which is, I think he's going to be quality and a good starter, if he had not have been there, I wouldn't have been unhappy if they would have got the left tackle from Utah. I wouldn't have been unhappy. Peter Woods is the next defensive tackle that could have been drafted, who's in the second round now, who's going to be better than that guy. So I think the Bears had defensive tackles and defensive ends with higher ratings on their board than the two that went after them. and they were the first defensive end. Well, Keldrick Falk you could have got as a defensive right. end. And Peter Woods, you know, he's the first defensive tackle taken, I think, right?
Yeah.
And so you must have other tackles with higher grades, and you should be able to get you one. I mean, that Halston kid, my personal thing, I would like to see him try and go after Lee Hunter or Daryl Jackson from Florida State. And then I think the defensive end, there's one in from Penn State. I think you might have a shot at him, and you might have a shot at maybe Jeremy Moore.
Yeah, I think the point that you're trying to make right now, right, is that there are bodies available, you know, for the Bears that could potentially still be there at 57. You know, a lot of mock drafts have them grabbing Gabe Yakus from University of Illinois.
Right.
And so there are names to be had. So I think when they're, you know, weighing what positions could still be available to have similar talents, right? Like if they had the Kedrick Falk as a particular grade, maybe paired up with Gabe Yakus, and they're like, okay, we could pass up on Falk, get Thieneman, and still end up with a Yakus who's comparable to Falk. I think that is probably right. what their thinking is. But certainly trusting their process. You know, you mentioned, you've been mentioning obviously the trenches, right, when you're talking about tackles and obviously edges and such. So in your mind, I know you like the draft pick, right, for who they ended up getting, but would you have preferred a lineman at 25?
I would have preferred a starter, which is what we got.
Yes.
I mean, we don't have
that's
we
the
don't
quote
have
of the day.
In, you know, we don't have a locked in left tackle. We have guys who can play the position signed on the roster, you know, but can, you know, Trapillo, he got hurt. He was going to be our starting left tackle moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so a rookie could have done it. And they say the kid from Utah, you know, he's probably the best left tackle prospect come in the draft. You know, the Bears said, you know, the Bears got a starter. So that's what we need on day two. We need to get at least two starters. And if you get a center who can sit or start right away, that's perfect.
It's interesting because, you know, that is the qualification for this Bears team where it's at in the present, right? Where you have players at multiple positions. And, you know, even if you're looking at the seventh rounders, right, Shibu, where you're saying those guys probably are not going to make the team, right? When you're thinking about the depth that's there already, how sixth and seventh rounders have fared on the Chicago Bears team over the last couple of seasons. So really what you're hoping for is if you can just get a starter, right? Obviously over the last couple of seasons, the assumption was that whoever you were bringing in the first, second, and third rounds must be starters just in order to improve the team. But now you're talking about an NFC North champion team that won a playoff game. So it should be harder to make the roster, right? There should be less starting spots available for you. But to your point, if you can get that in day two, you already got one in day one. But if you can get one in day two, I mean, you're really making an upgrade to the team that you currently have.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
I like it when you're on the score. I like listening to you talk
Appreciate
sports.
You, man.
Before I get up, I got to get back to work. But man, I wish I knew the next time you were going to be on the score. I really did listen to your show. You have great acumen, and you know you don't seem to be a hostile host. You know, you don't have to dog everybody out to make a good point.
Yeah, no.
So, I appreciate what you do, man. You be cool. Take care.
I appreciate you. The reason for that is because I'm in these streets, so I know if I talk crazy to somebody, they might actually see me outside. You know, I don't stay inside, so I got to be nice to people. But I do appreciate that. Well, the next time you can actually watch me, 12 hours from right now, I'll be on Chicago Sports Network, myself, David Hall, Ruthie Polinsky. We'll actually be broadcasting live from Guarantee Rate today. So right before the White Sox pregame show with Chuck and Ozzy begins, White Sox taking on the Nationals today. So, yeah, you can catch me on TV a little bit later on. And then tomorrow, you actually can see me in person. And if you're in McHenry or you're out, you know, somewhere south, you can come hang out with me, myself, the Illinois Lottery, at the South Holland BP gas station, 951 East 162nd Street in South Holland. I'll be there from 11 to 1 on Saturday with 104.3 The Score and the Illinois Lottery celebrating Hot Wins. It's a new program that they got. The first 20 people that come up to me and say, get fired up, they're going to receive a free Hot Wins ticket and an Illinois Lottery swag bag. So an opportunity to win some money and come say what's up. And we can talk about the rest of the draft that happens during that time. Again, that's at the South Holland BP gas station, 951 East 162nd Street in South Holland from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's going to be this Saturday, tomorrow. Must be 18 or older to play. Be smart, play smart. Game odds available at IllinoisLottery.com. That'll be my – I'm trying to think when I'm back on again. I think next week – next week I'm on with Spiegs on Thursday, I believe, or something like that. And then the week after, I'll be filling in for Lowe like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So I'll be on the airwaves, you know, over the next couple of weeks. Give me my theme music. We did it, Grant. We did it. Shout out to Grant Leader for producing today. Excellent job with the edits, my friend. Excellent job.
Thank you, sir.
With the edits. Shout out to Chris Emma for hanging out with me today, giving us some insight after he left Hallis Hall at midnight. Said that Ryan Poles was sleeping in a hammock, a hamaca, is what my Taino Indians would call it. Let's see. Also, tomorrow, Saturday, you can catch me at the Chicago Fire match. There you are. They got a match 7:30 at Chicago Sports Night. TJ Edwards will be in the building. I'll be in the building. So make sure you're hearing on me as well. All right. Don't forget, Dustin Rhodes coming up at 5 o'clock. Mully and Hall right after that. Brad Biggs at 7, Coach Wonstad at 8. We got you covered all day long. Dylan Thieneman highlights, analysis, and of course, what's expected in round 2 for the Chicago Bears. All right, mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima, that means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.